everybody, and welcome to Silver Metal! This episode, we don't actually have an episode of Power Rangers, so we decided to watch something different.
Different is so, one way of putting it.
So, let's introduce ourselves, even though we had the intro go now. Insert metal. Rising from the ashes, Silvercaster.
Overkill!
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel.
Oil and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightred.
Respecting the source material, Green Caster, Zenshi.
Captain of the Milky Seas, Navy Caster, Trenchman.
From Royal to Ranger, Orange Caster, Noble.
Bringing Tokusatsu to the West,
Cast Ranger,
Silver Metal.
Game on!
Yay! We're back.
So now everyone knows who's here.
Yeah. Yes. There we go. I'm Lightred.
Fuck!
I'm Paul.
We already did this!
I'm Chris!
I'm horny!
I'm Chris. Get out!
See, that's how you
do it. I'm usurping your show!
Get like out, everybody! Show. It's not my show anymore, see ya!
Like I usurped his powers. It's my show now. I so now steal everything metal? You loved.
So instead of silver metal, we're now green metal?
You see, no. The answer is no. Yes. Fuck you. Die in a fire.
Someone had to get up close and personal for that one.
Welcome to the Cast Ranger Green Room, where we take a look at pretentious adult shit.
Yeah!
No, you're not supposed to reveal that yet.
Oh, name drop again.
Man. Oh, welcome to the Ifty Studios podcast, where we talk about random stuff.
No.
Shit!
You are now Silver Bastard.
I am now Silver Bastard? Okay, fine. Fuck you guys, man. All you guys have podcast. Podcast's all about me now.
You joined the cast, bastards.
Yeah.
Yay.
Could be worse. You could be, you know, coercing with fucking Metrolinx like you have been.
Hey, man. Being coerced is a different thing, man. I was like, I'm a dude, bro. There's only so much I can do. It's Toku versus Tail. Metrolinx was all like, we have Tail. And I was like, well...
well, fuck!
Japanese kids shows for a while, I guess.
Alright.
Well, so, fuck. And fuck, he did.
Well, yes. Anyway, with this episode, we're going to be talking about... Kamen Rider Dragon Knight.
Hello! Because, you know why? Because together we can fight the fight.
So let's ride.
That's a good song.
So,
I like the song.
Kamen Rider Dragon Knight.
I like it too.
So, just to give a brief explanation.
It's a show.
It is a show that was created in 2009-2010 by a company that was not Saban, whose name escapes me, but it starts with an I, I believe.
We'll call them idiots.
Sorry, what was it?
Adness Entertainment.
Adness. I was completely wrong.
So yeah.
And it was created based on the 2003 Kamen Rider series of Ryuki.
Apparently this company employed planks of, like, drywall as its directors.
There must have been planks of drywall throughout the staff, because why, oh why, would they choose to adapt Ryuki instead of any of the other ones?
You know what? As I said while we were watching, I think that it would have been so much better because at the time, Double was airing, and they could have used Double, which it would have been a really cool
the
cop
thing
drama.
Is, 2009-2010 is when Dragon Knight aired.
Oh, so
it would have
been,
in production and in writing stages while Decade or maybe even Kiva were airing.
Kiva would have been a good one, too.
I like to think they did it because Ryuki at the time had the most riders in the series.
They can sell toys!
So, exactly.
Pretty
toys,
much. Toy
I think that's part A. I think part B is because none of the fighting in that show really meant jack shit, so they could plug whatever plot they want into it.
Yeah.
Which is what they did.
And also because having just one guy in one suit would make the other
quote-unquote minority kids feel bad because it's like, oh, this white guy's a superhero, not me.
I don't know about the minorities part.
Everybody
well,
being
you know what I mean. Kids
was,
that
was there a
bad.
Black Kamen Rider in that one, in Dragon Knight? I don't think there was.
Yeah,
there was.
Yeah,
so
Camel, here, when he was like the third one to die.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You know how when the tokusatsu version of something makes you want to shoot yourself in the dick, but the Power Rangers version, like, shapes childhoods? And when the Power Rangers version makes you want to get shot in the dick, the Sentai version, like, makes childhoods. In this case, it's just... It both versions make you want to shoot yourself in the dick.
Like, for different reasons, though.
In all counts with this, it just... It made me... Like, I slowly felt myself dying inside as I watched this. I think I'm alone on that in this. Like... I think that's just me, but
I'm gonna put a shiny dollar into the Sentai bucket.
I found this.
Oh, we're way past that.
Wait, I'm gonna say this right now. Ryuki is not a writer. And here is
we really gonna do this?
Yeah,
again?
Fuck you. Ryuki
okay.
is not a writer. Wait, no, shut up.
Spoilers ahead for
yeah.
people who haven't finished Ryuki.
If you haven't finished Ryuki, just skip a little bit ahead.
Does Crunch Noble? Are you guys worried?
No.
No.
Okay. Really. At the end of Ryuki.
One of its four endings,
one of its
mind
four
you,
endings. It,
all of which were bad.
Yeah, but one of them, he had a wish. And he wished that all of this never happened.
Oh, that was Knight who wished.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. He wished for it to never happen. Meaning that the riders never happened. No riders, not a rider.
Again.
Don't care.
Again, no. One of four endings.
No, all he did there was create a paradox, and you can all that says it's not a statement on him as a writer, because when he was a writer, he was a Kamen Rider, he fit all the tropes, it was fine. It's just the show rendered itself redundant. All of that shit wound up being
I call alternate timeline multiverse.
Sure, that's great. There's four separate endings to this, but they all
Unless this
blow
is the multiverse
chunks.
Theory.
No, but I'm just saying that just because one timeline ends with resetting
it's,
everything does not
less,
make him not a writer.
It's
yeah.
less that he's not a writer, and more the show is horse shit and rendered itself redundant.
Yeah.
Let's assign blame to where it's... Like, there's a problem with the show. It's not to do with the mechanics or the characters.
It's
the
same
the
thing where I have
blow.
To say that Drive himself is not a rider because he doesn't ride anything. He
rides a car.
He drives a car. Doesn't ride
people
anything.
Drive bikes.
Yeah, but no, you ride a bike. Because you're
I
on
like
it.
Potatoes.
That's true. I've never heard the term drive a
okay,
bike
okay, this is me talking... You're getting too into the semantics.
I don't care.
This is
no,
Mr.
No, but,
Belt Mechanics
but,
talking.
But Mock is a writer.
No. You can't just
yes,
call that.
Yes, because the belt says so.
No, okay, listen. You don't ride a car. You drive a car because you get in it.
You ride in a car.
No. You ride
Spacer
if you're a passenger.
Rides cars.
No, the statement is I'm riding in a car.
Or you're driving your car.
Yes, it
what's the difference between driving a car and driving a bike?
You
because riding your bike means you're on it.
You
it's like riding a bicycle.
So what about cars
you're
with
driving
no...
a bicycle.
So what about cars with no roofs?
What? You're
what
still
about
getting
car...
in it.
No, you're still... You're technically on top of it.
There's still a roof.
No, some cars don't.
Roofs.
Some cars don't.
You're being more pretentious than me, and you're baiting him. Let's move on to the next thing.
Okay, anyway, fuck it. Episode 1 shows up, and here we go. We're ready for this to happen. What is the first thing we see?
The beginning
He's
of...
a goddamn fucking arrested. No, the intro doesn't start until after he gets back home.
Oh, I was
yeah.
talking more along the lines of the opening scene to Highlander that started this
Yeah,
this
no,
show.
Okay. So, oh yeah, he doesn't get arrested yet. No, Wing Knight...
Wing Knight shows up in the
shows
parking
up
garage.
Through, yeah, in the parking
in,
garage.
In Corporate Plaza.
In Corporate Plaza.
I know, this chick's got this really great job at Corporate Plaza.
But,
it's
like...
so cool.
The security guard sees her, like...
Get right, dragged
like,
off.
Yeah, get dragged off. He's like, whatever, fuck it,
yeah,
whatever.
This bothers me. It's just like, this chick is obviously flailing her arms around. This is obvious, at best, a rape scenario.
Yeah.
And this guy just goes...
I'm gonna keep reading my comic.
Nothing out of the ordinary
now
here.
Now he's busy eating his Twizzler they had in his mouth.
I think that was a pen cap.
Yeah, he's just like, nothing fucking unusual about that. All of a sudden, fucking tokusatsu Batman shows up on a motorcycle, and he's all like, wow, this is suddenly really fucking interesting.
And then he does, like, bike jutsu,
yeah.
And, like, fucking, like, beats
the
shit.
He pulls a Kuga!
He beats the shit out of them all with a bike, and the security guard's like, What the fuck is that guy doing? Because he can't see the mirror monsters.
So he's just like, watching the Batman he's just like, do bike tricks.
Whoa, holy shit, okay, what the fuck is going on? Whoa! You can't see my hands, but I'm like doing like backflips and shit with my hands. Yes. I'm just like, what the fuck? Dude, holy shit, fuck, cock sucking, fuck, oh fuck, landed it. 911. Cops never showed up. I think they were just like, there's some guy on a motorcycle doing fucking tricks in my fucking garage.
I don't know.
Help!
I don't know.
Call the truant officer.
I don't know what the writers of the show were thinking when they made Dragon Knight or Wing Knight's character's personality, because he's literally just Terminator and Agent Smith fused into one being.
I would actually
so
say,
fucking bland.
I would say he's as bland as he is. He's pretty close to Len.
Okay, wait. When Wing shows up, or what's her name? No, wait. It is Wing.
Wing Knight is the name of
the
Batman.
The chick.
Oh, Maya.
Maya, but what's her? Knight, what's their Kamen Rider form?
Oh, Siren?
Siren, that's it. When Siren shows up, he's like, you! But I thought you... And that's, at that point, I was like, he has emotions?
Oh, no, that's not Maya, that's Case.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, Case. That's like way later
in
the
show. Yeah, I know, but everything up until that point, he's fucking like, he may as well fucking nail him to a wall. He's
because
so
his calm world was conquered and he thinks all his friends are dead.
But yeah, shitty April O'Neil's name is Maya, right?
Yes.
I'm gonna keep calling her shitty April O'Neil.
You can go for it.
Shitty April O'Neil is this chick who is a character, kind of, sort of, who works in a bookstore and thinks she's
not well.
Terribly, I might add. However, her primary occupation is that
if you can call it that,
she thinks she's a reporter. Really, she's just a fucking blogger and a gossip monger at that. But we're introduced to this character and her.
Sorry, let me just pause you for a sec. She's running Mac OS off of a Dell laptop.
Yeah. What the fuck? Okay. I'm looking at her Windows and I'm like, that's clearly Mac OS. Then I look at her laptop and I'm like, that's not a MacBook.
And then, I also have to point out the tech in that show is so old.
We're forgetting the most important part of that of the scene just before that. Kit is getting arrested for stealing again, even though he says he never did.
Quote.
And he looks over in the mirror and he sees his father and he's just like, "Chase the dragon." And I was just like, "You want him to do meth?"
I love that. I love the fact that like this. He looks like just this straight, stereotypical American dad from, like, California or Texas or Nebraska or some stupid shit. And he's just in the reflection on the glass, and he's just like, Kit, chase the dragon.
Find the dragon.
Use
the contract card.
Yeah.
Don't forget the contract card.
I'm just like...
Tata guy.
I'm watching this going, so you want him to do meth? That is literally the entire thing. It's just like... Find the contract card.
I just think it's...
Find the dragon.
I just think it's funny that this normal-ass guy who's, like, his dad is this series' version of Kanzaki, who was this amazingly dark, broody, mysterious guy in Ryuki. But, no, just a dad.
Yeah.
We just need him to say, Tatakai, a bunch of times, and we're good.
And then, after that, we get to the scene where Maya is on the computer and everything.
And these are stupid, shitty characters.
And the guy, and she goes, I met this guy named Kit. And they little fucking retarded fucking piece of shit cocksucker kid.
Don't even get me started on that fuck.
None of us even remember his name.
Don't go anywhere near him.
What's his name?
Trent.
Exactly.
Chris? His name is Chris?
What's Trent.
Trent.
Okay, yeah. So this guy, he's clearly got a hard-on for Maya, or shitty April O'Neil. Clearly got a hard-on for her, terrible at hiding it. And so what does he do? He spends most of his time trashing the name of the one other man in her life.
Well,
and by one other man, I mean the dude she met for 10 minutes and saved her life. Yeah. All because... he believes and was told that this kid stole his brother's Walkman. And I'm just like, you know this kid has a reputation for being a thief, and yet he constantly denies it. So I don't know if he actually is the kleptomaniac that everyone keeps saying that he is, but it kind of feels to me that people just like blaming this kid because he's got a rep. This kid, most people would just kind of go, it's not my business, I don't know his situation. Nope, this kid's scum, stay away from him, I would probably shoot him if I saw him around you and I had a gun.
The problem that I have with that whole situation is that, yes, he probably has a rep for that. The reason why is that he has no one to defend him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has, his father is gone. And he lives in a foster home. He has no one to defend him at all. And so they're just like, you're our scapegoat. Deal with it.
And here's the thing. If you think about it, you never once actually see him steal anything. So for all we know,
he goes back to his room and gives back the picture frame that the kid steals from the other chick.
And his little foster sister looks at him like, you fucking scumbag. You obviously stole this from me, and now you're giving it back to me.
And then he goes back to his father's garage.
But the problem with that is he doesn't even bother to clear it up.
But no, there's no point.
Yeah.
I he goes back to his father. Where that came from?
What?
I was saying, it's like, I really want to know where that whole thing about him being a klepto came from, because in the original pilot they were throwing around, that was not a thing.
They need something.
Exists at all.
They're painting him as a misunderstood youth without a father, and I would believe that after his father mysteriously disappeared, he might have had a rough patch where, yes, he was stealing. However, when he finds out that his kid brother stole from his other foster sibling, he advises against it, and the kid basically says, "You steal, so why shouldn't I do it?" And he's just like, "I don't fucking, oh, whatever, fuck it, we're giving it back."
You know what I think may have been the origin of that character trait, or rather that plot point for that character?
What?
I think the reason they were trying to come up with an excuse for him to be an outcast from society, so no one would question why he's spending all his time doing Kamen Rider things.
Yeah, but then he does something stupid like henshining in the middle of public.
Yeah, we'll get to
but
that
that's
part.
The thing. He doesn't care because he doesn't like people.
We'll get to that part in a second, because he goes to his father's apartment, which, yes, probably is completely paid off for.
And can I just say right now, thanks a lot for the opening scene to Tron Legacy, guys. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention the shitty fucking theme song.
Oh, you mean the one obviously composed by WWE?
Yeah, it's so bad!
I actually enjoyed the music, but
I liked the theme song. My problem with is the fact that the opening spoils all the riders. Like, no mystery at all. Yeah. No survive modes are even shown in the background.
Yeah, it spoils all their appearances and the rider names, none of which I give a crap about, because while I was watching, I was referring to everyone by the Japanese rider names.
Yeah, which was really fucking distracting.
To me, it just sounds like a TitanTron opening.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you're from the fifth dimension! Kamen Rider Dragon Knight! Kamen Rider Dragon Knight!
Theme song was in the air.
It literally sounds like something that would come out of WWE.
Let's ride!
Yeah, having one.
And then he comes out on the motorcycle, like old school fucking Undertaker.
Yeah. What? What did you say?
Chris? I said, having been watching WWE a bunch, I believe that the theme song was made by them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's simple. Or at least, like, one of the bands that they would go to, because they do, like, they get singles, they get bands to do songs for them and stuff like that. They don't have a studio of musicians, I don't think, but they get a lot of music that sounds the same, and it's very much that early 2000s, like, rock sound.
Yeah.
With, like, the...
Alright, let's move on from WWE.
I just think it would have been hilarious if Adonis went to Ron Wasserman to do music for Dragon Knight.
It would be fucking awesome if they did.
Ron Wasserman, for those who don't know, is the guy who did the music for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and many of the subsequent seasons.
And he's a very, very cool guy who does lots of things for the fans.
Yeah.
He's cool. You should check out his Twitter. You should look him up and, like, just follow it. Listen to his stuff, man. If you were a fan of any of the early Power Ranger theme songs, you're going to, like, Ron Wasserman's work.
You can actually find most of the Power Ranger music he composed on his, like, SoundCloud.
Yeah, and also he did the alternates for different Kamen Riders.
Like, there's this rock version of the Mystic Force opening that is way better than the actual opening that he composed.
Anyway, well, let's move on from that to back to Kamen Rider Dragon Knight for a second here, because he goes back to the apartment. Which, okay, fine, you made a good point. It's probably completely paid off. That's fine. The lights are still on. You walked in, the lights are on.
Yeah.
Who's paying this electric bill?
You can say this, like I said before, it's a lot like the opening scene of Tron Legacy. You could say the same thing about the arcade.
But everything was off. You literally had to chunk and turn everything on.
Yeah, true enough, but that...
The reason... No, but it's not
right
why...
Independent generator. It might have a generator.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But then again, like I told you, if the show doesn't establish it, it probably isn't true.
Yeah.
Your dad was a super rich guy or something.
I don't know. It's just a minor thing that I looked
that's
at.
Why, that's why he dressed like...
The show, in my opinion, is actually pretty good that I literally have to nitpick some things to get... bad things
that's
out of it.
Yeah.
A lie.
No. I've watched the entire show all the way through. I respect this show.
Like we've been saying, these three episodes are not
that's
indicative
why,
of the
does
the
acting
show.
Improve? Does the
yes.
shooting improve? Does the cinematography improve?
The cinematography and the shooting gets a little better as they start getting more money for things, and not everything is filmed on things. Like, they have, like, a wide angle lenses on...
Sure,
stuff.
But planks of wood will always be planks of wood. And
if the acting gets a lot better with the different writers.
If you say
so.
Like,
if you say
especially
so.
With Cobra.
But you guys...
Strike.
This is part of my point. You guys keep saying that it gets better about halfway through the show.
We can say the same thing about, like, most Kamen Riders. Deno was pretty shit until...
Deno is shit, in my opinion.
Until Zeranos, a.k.a.
Until Zeranos
Kamen
shows
Riders,
up.
The plot shows up.
I like Deno.
And then we have,
like
Deno. Okay, well, then let's go with Decade. Decade was pretty shit for the first, like, 10, 15 episodes.
Decade
then it got
pretty bad all the way through.
I'm talking about Decade. Yeah.
I thought Decade was not that amazing until they finished the Nine Rider Worlds.
Bad.
Yeah, that's about like 15, 20 episodes
like
in, because they only go to 36.
I thought it was great. 31. The whole way 31. Through.
Let me just.
Okay, that's cool.
Let me just make my point as to why I'm not too impressed with this show. And it's from a fundamental writing level. I'm not just sitting here griping. It goes even deeper than
not
the fact
even
that
episode
I find,
2 yet.
It goes deeper than the fact that I find that the performances are weak. And the direction is weak, and the cinematography is really, really one note. It's also the fact that it's trying to incorporate the various silly portions of the acting of Power Rangers, like all the useless flipping and the ki-ing and stuff like that. All of that stuff that made Power Rangers more whimsical than it was a violent, dark show. This tries to still have in certain ways, and you can't have both because this show tries to take itself more seriously than that. It's trying to have its cake and eat it too, trying to cash in on the inherent silliness that Power Rangers made popular in its martial arts shows, but also trying to have a dark and gritty storyline. And in my opinion, you can't have both. You have to either make it like Power Rangers, where it's still Brighton for the kids, but still the martial arts is good, and that's what keeps you, or you have the dark, broody storyline that this show is trying to have, and you go full throttle with it. It's the reason why Garo and Power and Super Sentai and Kamen Rider will always be separate in terms of their genre for me.
Now, I haven't seen Dragon Knight in its entirety, but there is a moment that I saw that was really cool, so, like, spoilers for everyone, sorry, But there's a part where, like, Ryuga comes in, or Onyx, as he's called, who's, like, another version of Kit. Like, he's an evil version of Kit or something.
He's from the other world.
Yeah, he's from the other world. And there is a part in the show where, apparently, Kit becomes Onyx.
They swap powers.
And and Onyx becomes Dragon Knight. And I think that's fucking cool.
But
like,
that
was
like,
not quite because like
Ryuga was only in the movie. It was only in the Ryuki movie. That was it.
Okay.
And I liked how they established him in the show.
What I was going to say is, based on what you were saying, I will go ahead and tell you that the show's wacky silliness of the side characters, as the show goes on, gets amazingly drowned out by the plot.
Are you fucking
okay.
kidding me? He joins the fucking FBI! Okay?
But
no, I know, but there's more of the plot takes up more of the episode.
Yeah.
My point is that it's both done badly and it's misplaced in general. It shouldn't be there.
But
the
thing is, if you think about a show like Gein, you watch the first three episodes, is that really enough to judge the whole show? Because Gein becomes a very different show the 20 episodes.
Yeah,
but it's still good. It's still good in its first few episodes. It's
no,
still a compelling story. The fact that it became so complex and great was just icing on the cake for me. This has a weak start, and apparently it continues to be weak up until the midpoint, and I just say, why bother then?
But the thing is, if you think about Gaim in its first state, it's a show where kids use fruit-themed locks to fight over stage territory.
And I repeat, it was good. That no, it was well written enough to take such a silly premise and make it incredibly watchable. And the fact that it just kept getting better.
Can we get back to Dragon Knight?
I'm finishing my analogy.
Okay, because we got two more episodes talking about and a topic.
Gaim was amazing because it was well written all the way through for its premise. This has a good. Ryuki had a good premise and it fucked it up. This has a good premise and it's fucking it up. With its stupid fucking bullshit side characters, its generic goddamn cinematography, and, again, fucking planks of wood for actors. There's no good points to these performances. They're all so mundane. Now get back to your point.
So, we get to the point in the episode where he's in the father's apartment and he hears his father. Like, no, he goes and he takes the deck off of the
motorcycle. He just
finds
the deck sitting on
the
desk.
No,
because
he pulls the tarp off, and it's on a motorcycle. It's, like, on the seat of the motorcycle, and he goes, what's this? It's
contract card. I'm sure it was on a coffee table.
Was it on a coffee table? I thought it was on the motorcycle.
No, it was just on the coffee table next to something.
And he took it, and he takes the card out, and he goes, it's a contract card, and he's like, oh, yeah, I heard about this. And then he's like, find the dragon, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, Dad, where are you? And he opens up the door to the balcony, and the dragon comes out, and he's just like, ah, fuck! Ah!
I cast shield!
Yeah!
And he somehow blocks the dragon with the deck.
And then the because he didn't hold up
the card. I am the almighty dragon! Name your wish!
I wish that this show never happened!
Your wish shall be granted!
He could have been rebounded because the contract needs to be mutual.
He was too scared of the dragon.
That's absolutely what it is.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it less stupid.
It bounced off him, and then he's like, oh, fuck, I can hear the fucking mirror world now.
Yeah.
Ah, I can hear things!
I hear everyone screaming.
What?
He used guard vent.
Yeah.
Technically, no, because that definitely has, like, three cards to it.
I love
it. Guard Vent is one of them.
The whole series is so
No, the deck before, like, your contract, it's only got, like, three cards in it, I think.
It has four. Because they never used the fourth card until the end of the series, when he's like, oh, yeah, we have a fourth card. What's survive?
It means to not die, fuckface.
Literally, that's how they got survive.
No, they got survived from Case. She gave it to him.
No, it was because it was the last card in the deck that they never used.
What are you... No, they're survived cards they got from Case.
It's
been a long time since I watched
it. Yeah, it's been so long, but I swear that's how
it
happened.
When you guys wiki it or something.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Well, I'm probably wrong. I'm probably... Like, I'm usually wrong.
Well,
but
I think that's an honest so, wrong.
And then the episode, jumps into the mirror. No, he falls backwards into a car.
Yeah.
Into the mirror world, transforms into a clear white version of
the blank form.
I guess blank form.
That's what it's called.
No, it was white. Yep.
No, it was silver. It was a dark gray.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that dark
was
gray.
And then he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, what are these cards? Oh, sword vent. I got a samurai sword. I'll fucking kill you."
I love
dink.
How the blank form sword vent. It's like. Sure, okay. It throws down this shitty little ninja toe style blade, and not only does it, like, throw him a shitty sword, but it throws it at him, like, a few feet off to the side. Like, it's over there. Go and fetch.
Giving us a really, really silly perspective shot.
Yeah.
Really
well, that's
silly
Japanese footage, so.
Yeah, that is from the Ryuki footage.
Yes, but that perspective shot was still.
And then, man. So he goes, he hits the monster, and he's like, oh, fuck.
His sword breaks. I was immediately reminded of the dual shadow from episode 2 of Killkyuger.
This is a thing for me. The red ruins the Ryuki armor for me.
Absolutely.
Blank form looks so much better.
Absolutely.
So much better.
I like Onyx better.
The funny thing is...
Oh,
yeah,
I like Onyx.
It's just so much better.
In the Ryuki movie, you actually see Oja's blank form for a bit.
Is it cool?
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet.
And then, so... He gets his ass kicked. He gets kicked out of the mirror world. The monster's not destroyed. Nothing happens. So episode 2 starts, and he's like, okay, well, fuck. I need to start worrying. Oh, God, noises. And so he's off to go and look for the... He's off to go look for what the noise was, and it...
And Len, Ren, whatever the fuck he was called in this one, spends the entire episode going, give me the deck, give me the deck.
Yeah, give me the deck. He goes out, he's like... Okay, take your keys.
Smash his camera.
Yeah, smashes the camera, takes his keys.
We might be saying some of the shit out of order, but it all blends together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the camera smashing and meeting him was in the first
episode. Yeah, that's what I think. Probably. But like, no, I know in the second episode he takes the keys from the bike. Because then he's like, oh, I hear Mirror World stuff going on. Come with me. What? You didn't want him to go with you last time.
Here's the thing about that key scene. He takes, like, they drive up next to each other because he's chasing him. So Ren leans over and takes Kit's keys and drives off. And he's like, well, son of a bitch. Immediate next scene, Kit has walked up to wherever the fuck Ren went with no sense of direction and no idea where he was going. He just found him.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even get me started on the convenience of various things in this show, and not to mention...
This is the episode 2. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, sorry.
Not to mention useless fucking bullshit, like stupid scenes that go nowhere and have no real...
Like the hacking the police scene?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Totally not gonna
this
work.
Pissed me off. This really pissed me off. So you remember how I mentioned that one kid named Trent keeps fucking, like...
Harping on Kit
all the time, like...
For being a thief?
Yes, and also because he's got a thing for stupid fucking April O'Neil knockoff. And he's got a thing for her, and so here's how this scene plays out, and this is great. So it opens up with him hacking into the police database.
Because she got Kit's wallet.
Yes, because she stole Kit's wallet.
Not stole, he Ren took it from him while searching for the deck.
Okay, true.
Pulled out his wallet and threw it on the ground, and Maya picked it up.
True enough. So she's got his wallet, they're looking up his information, and they're looking up information on his dad, whom they found out disappeared several years
ago. Because the posters are apparently fucking everywhere. Yeah.
So Trent and stupid fucking April O'Neil are talking, and they're just like, okay, so, this kid's dad disappeared when he was like 18, and he's been in foster home after foster home and stuff like that. And so, this sounds like a pretty sympathetic story. Like, he lost his father, and he's obviously obviously got on the wrong track. At the best of situations, his story's a little bit understandable. No. He sits there, and he says, no, don't feel sorry for this kid who lost his father and has been living with strangers. He's a felon. He says while hacking the police's database and stealing... criminal record information.
Here's the thing about him hacking, air quotes, hacking into it. He just puts a password in.
I know. He's just got a login. He just happens to have a login.
It's not a password cracker. It's not a forced safe. It's nothing. It's not a fucking...
Dad's like the chief of police or something.
It's not a fast logger. It's not a key logger. It's nothing. You know what it is? It's him going, done, I found it. Password works.
But that's never established, so it's just bad writing.
Yay.
He's just got a password. He just... username. Hey, I know your username. Password. Done. It's like, I got a login, and now I'm going to steal...
The username is username. The password is password.
And now I'm going to steal his... not only his, but his father's police record. And I'm going to show absolutely no sympathy for this person whose father disappeared and he's
and
lived
still
without
call,
parental
And
figures.
Still call him a felon. Even though you just performed multiple felonies.
Much worse felonies.
Yeah.
He stole my little brother's MP3 player, so I'm going to hack into the police database to find out
what else he's
done.
That is like swatting someone for killing you in Counter-Strike.
That's like swatting a fly with a nuke.
No. Swatting. And calling the SWAT department on someone for killing you in Counter-Strike.
Okay, it's petty. It's petty, stupid bullshit. And this...
It's not that it's petty, it's hypocritical.
Yeah. No, it's also petty, because his only motivating factor is the fact that the girl that he likes is making goo-goo eyes at him.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not fool ourselves into thinking he's in a righteous fury because he just wants his little kid sibling's fucking MP3 player back. No, it's because the girl he likes is fucking...
He is hoping, at best, for a blowjob right now.
That's because this guy makes, like, her fucking underwear turn into the Amazon rainforest, and he can't do that. Obviously, he's the worst person in the world.
Oh my fucking god, I just got, like, this big picture of a waterfall that's coming out of a vagina.
And he's not the only shitty character. Her best friend exists just to be materialistic and stereotypical. And she's
completely worthless.
And stupid fucking April O'Neil's no gem either, because she's just doing this for a Pulitzer.
Oh, and then there's their boss, the owner of the bookstore.
Who wants to get a parakeet?
And what does she want to get?
Named Tattoo!
And that's it!
That's her only significant line, aside from, don't forget to call the electrician to come repair the light fixture!
Here's another...
The light fixture!
Here's her scene,
she's
like,
not really worth much.
Here's her scene two scenes later. She comes in to find Kit and stupid fucking April O'Neil in her fucking star house, going over her computer, possibly looking at her store figures and being up to no good. Goes up to them, oh, who's this? Oh, he's just my friend. I'm going to be coy and suspicious and shake his hand while he walks off.
I guess I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, okay, let's do that.
He seems nice.
Guys,
I want a parakeet.
You know what?
Tattoo.
Guys,
derpy-derpy-doo.
I just want to let you guys know the store owner is from Shocker.
I don't care. I don't fucking care. Like, she could have said anything. She could have been like...
This is episode 2, guys. We're not even episode 3 yet.
She
you guys,
like,
I don't think Paul likes to show you guys.
She could have said something perfectly reasonable. Like, why is this person I don't know and don't employ in my fucking storeroom on my fucking computer? But no! She just wants a fucking parakeet named Tattoo, and that's her fucking significance in this scene!
I'm so happy
doesn't get
I'm
much
on
more
tonight.
You know what's
also
really funny? I have the DVD versions of this show on my computer.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why didn't you bust those out?
Because
we watched shitty YouTube rips.
I said I had them all. No one listens.
I didn't hear you.
No one listens to me. But the subtitles put Tattoo as T-A-T-U.
The Russian girl band?
Yeah. I was like...
And the parakeet will just Twitter, they're not gonna get us!
Yeah.
That being said, now I want a parakeet named Pussy Riot.
That's it. I want, you know what? I want a hedgehog and I want to name it Pussy Wagon.
I want a hedgehog and I want to name it Ogilvy.
Let's not get into that! Let's move on!
Anyways.
Let's move on. Episode 2, he gets the fucking dragon. He's like, look, dragon! So I'm gonna hold up the contract.
I'm gonna do the thing the asshole told me not to do and my father told me
to
do.
And he's like,
seems logical.
Oh yeah, no, sorry. Wait, let's turn back a little bit. He's fighting the Spider-Man and...
Yes. Toku Batman's fighting Spider-Man.
Yeah, and he's fighting him and he's like, he's looking through the mirror at Kit and Kit's just like, hey look, dragon. Contract card. Hey, look, it's swirling. What if I do this?
And at that point, we get the most acting that character ever produces. No!
No! What are you doing? Oh, God, fuck!
Oh, no! Now I have help. Damn.
Now I have help fighting off the evil
Whatever
invasion.
Whatever will I do? I guess I'm gonna have to train him next episode. Anyway, so he goes, the dragon comes in, into him, he's like, that is the biggest thing I've had in me all day. And then he fucking goes and becomes Ryuki, goes through the real world, does the thing with his arm.
Does the whole Ryuki dragon pose.
All the things. Ryder kicks it to death, and then, Knight killed it.
And then I shoot myself in the dick.
Yeah, Knight killed it.
No, Ryuki killed it with his finisher. Yeah. The dragon kick.
Yeah, you mentioned how cool it was that his rider kick was followed by a dragon shooting
fireball.
Yeah,
the dragon shoots a fireball at him and he rider kicks into him and then he lands and it's pretty
cool. Idea
that is
Kyoryu,
just Ryuki.
Yeah.
An idea which Kyoryu Red perfected.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But at any rate, yeah, that's episode 2. Again, it ends with a fight and Ryuki getting his powers.
Episode 3... is the... I'm just gonna literally...
Episode 2 ends with Ryuki fighting Incisor.
Oh, yeah, he's fighting Incisor in the Incisor bot.
Yeah, fighting Crab.
Vol cancer.
Yeah.
Fighting Crab, and Goyle wasn't around. Harry Potter joke! Ah!
So, episode 3 introduces us to Kamen Rider Incisor, a.k.a. Mr. 2 episode
Considering
special.
The actual episode is called Kamen Rider Incisor.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, Scissors in the Japanese version literally was alive for 2 episodes. That's how... He was there to introduce the fact that the riders have to fight each other.
He was eaten by his own monster.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
We get introduced to whatever the fuck rich kid generic is fuck name.
Who looks like he should be in an ad for Smirnoff Raw Tea.
Or, like, sure or an ad for like...
Wait. Everyone be quiet. Smirnoff Iced Tea.
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Uh-huh.
Vodka Iced Tea?
It's called a Long Island Iced Tea.
Oh.
I was going to say, he looks like an ad for the Gap.
It's like the good old Coors Light Iced Tea or the Clit.
Yeah.
What?
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, Coors Light Iced Tea, Clit.
God damn it!
To clarify, there was a viral ad from a very long time ago where a bunch of fucking New England yuppies decided to rap about how much they loved their alcoholic iced tea. Oh. And the video is called Tea Partay. So that's what I'm referencing here. He looks like one of the Tea Partay fucks.
Okay.
He looked like an ad
I
for
don't
the Gap.
Remember much about this episode other than the fight with Incisor and getting his dick kicked in and Wing Knight just standing there going puts his thing up to go to Henshin and he's like, no, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna Henshin.
Wait, we didn't mention the stupidest thing about all of this.
The Henshin?
Yes! Kamen Rider!
No. I was gonna put that in this part. Because this is the episode where he fucking Henshins in public in front of what's her fucking dick.
You mean like Maya. In front of everyone?
Yeah.
Like I said, he has no connections to society, so he gives no fucks about letting people see him Henshin.
So he fights and Wing Knight shows up eventually.
Sorry, hold on. Say again.
I said no one seems to notice it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he goes
like
out.
Like Superman going inside of the phone booth.
Actually, no. We were talking about this earlier. Imagine how crazy...
Wait. I'm going to bring that up in a second.
Okay.
But, so, he goes, and he's like, okay, not...
You might want to step back.
Not April O'Neil. Please go away.
Please step back.
I don't know how this thing works.
You might die.
And he's like, he holds it up to the mirror, the lightning goes down his arm, I don't know how his arm doesn't go, it explodes.
I don't think it goes down his arm. It just kind of like goes down.
No, it goes down the back, bottom of his arm, over his armpit, onto his waist, and literally electrocutes his dick.
It turns into Iron Man's oscillating armor ring.
Yeah, and then this is the Henshin, by the way. Yeah. So he puts the deck in there. It goes in, locks, goes into disk space, and fucking spins like a motherfucker. That spins like a turbine.
See, here's the thing. And I'm going to go into my little belt mechanics.
Yeah, you go. You're the belt mechanic guy today.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Oh, gosh.
I have a very simple explanation.
You're serving everyone.
I have a very simple explanation as to how the decks are able to sink into the belt and spin around. They're built around a pocket mirror. You put the deck inside of it, it sinks into the mirror, and it's just a small mirror behind it, and it spins. Adding the deck to mirror might cause its powers to activate.
My thing is that while it's spinning, it's like a turbine, and that's what powers the beam of light that
comes
up.
Sure, spinning it might draw energy out of the deck, but I'm saying the reaction of putting the deck into mirror world might be what activates it.
Yeah.
Because you can't activate it without putting it in front of a mirror. You can't use its power without putting it in front of a mirror.
No, because he did it without it.
But it doesn't spark unless there's a reflective surface.
No, because it was Wing Knight versus Siren in one of the episodes when they're just facing each other and they Henshin in the middle of the street.
Well, then that's a continuity error because that's the way it's always worked, even in Ryuki.
I know.
You need to...
Pretty much a Ryuki thing, because the belt comes out of the mirror and onto their waist. And they don't care.
Plus,
they can do it anywhere.
Plus the fact that...
But they always stand in front of reflective surfaces.
Plus the thing is...
Not
in,
always.
The thing is, in Ryuki, it is the mirror world, whereas in Dragon Knight, the reflective surfaces aren't leading into a mirror world. They're leading to an actual separate dimension.
Think of it this way. In Ryuki, they're going from the mirror world into the real world. And then in Dragon Knight, it's the real world into the mirror world. It's literally the opposite.
But they're not going into a mirror world. They're going to Ventara.
But it's literally a mirror world of our world. That's why there's clones of us.
The only reason you'd call it a mirror world in this case is because every entrance to it is a reflective surface. Yeah. And that's still true here.
The reason it was called Mirror World in Ryuki was because it actually was the exact same world horizontally flipped.
I understand that, But Ventara...
Say again?
Let go.
What's funny about that, the whole horizontal flip thing, is that in the original pilot version for the first episode, they basically squashed about three episodes into one episode, first and foremost. Secondly, when Kit first falls into the mirror world, everything is literally backwards, and he points that out. It's like, why is everything backwards?
Which,
of course, was not in the final version.
No.
But anyway, as I was saying, sorry, I might have to burp in a second. I may have a burping emergency. in the middle of the the show, they established that Ventara is a mirror world of Earth because they have exact same clones of you in there.
Yeah.
They have a version of you that is the exact same DNA, body shape, body size, everything about you in there. The only difference is the experiences are different.
So the personalities are different.
Yeah, the personalities are different.
All I know is that in all three of these episodes, every time I saw him henshin, he was in front of a window, mirror, or something.
And that is what they, 90% of the time is what they do, yes.
Yes. That is true, but there is a couple exceptions in the real world where Wing Knight is fighting the green guy, the gun guy.
Oh, Zorro.
Yeah, they henshin in front of each other with the mirror.
But then why do it all the time?
Because they're trying... Because they're about to enter. They're going to enter the real world anyway, so they're there. They're ready to go. Already henshin, boom, into the mirror world.
Sure.
Pretty much.
I think mostly it's not for its own plot reasons, but because it's drawing from Ryuki.
Yeah.
It's like, they did it, we might as well.
Okay.
Because we're about to step in there and fight most of the time.
But again, what's up? What's up?
All I know is that the Dragon Knight transformation is a fuck lot tons better than the Ryuki one.
Oh. I agree.
Oh, Ryuki one! Yeah. Insert and belt!
They
had originality to like make it spin and do shit, and then
their rider forms like mode 7 onto them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, the effect is cooler in Dragonite, and I like it.
But if you're
what I don't like is the fact that they say Kamen Rider, and yes, I get that they're trying to drive the point home that they're Kamen Riders, but they could have just said Transform or something else.
Yeah, they literally could have said anything.
Stop saying Henshin.
And I also don't like the spinning deck in the belt. Although
he doesn't like it. A lot of people do. He doesn't like it. I want it on my phone. But anyway, here's the thing. Wait,
there was a clip of the guys who play Dragonite and Wing Knight at a convention, and they're doing like the typical Q&A thing, and someone actually walked up to them with, I think, Dex from Ryuki, and said, hey, can you guys do your transformation thing, but instead of saying Kamen Rider, say Henshin, and it's actually been caught on video.
That's cool. I want to see that. If you find it, can you link it to us so I can put it in the description of the podcast?
Yeah, if I can find it, I'll throw you a link.
All right. So, now here's my theory about the henshin in progress in its own. He henshins in front of a goddamn office building, okay? Like, right in the middle of the office building. I want to see it from the other side when someone is standing, like...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What? He's gonna break through the glass!
He's looking out the window, and he just sees a guy with, like, a plastic thing pointing at the wing, and he's like, is that lightning going down his... Oh god, a belt form! He put the belt thing in the belt! It's spinning! What the fuck is the lights? What? Now he has armor! He's jumping at me!
And then he's just...
I really think people would be far more concerned about the... I don't think people would so much notice the lightning in the belt and the cards and stuff like that. They'd be more along the lines of, oh my god, a psychotic dude is gonna ram his fucking motorcycle through the wall!
Yeah, that was another one. When he goes in, he bike henshins.
Wingman did a bike henshin and drove his bike into one of the doors of this random building.
And then they vanish and they're like...
How did they film that?
I would... As I said before, and I'm probably just gonna, I'm pretty sure they got a stunt driver for the motorcycle that was really, really good at stopping on a dime, and the rest of the sequence was CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Well, no, it was CGI because it lifted him up and put him through the mirror.
What were you saying, Wyatt?
I said, or he just threw it through the fucking door.
There's that too, but the door was intact a shot, like a frame later.
They could have, that could have been filmed before.
What I mean is it could be a split. You know how, okay, I don't know if anyone watches Wheezy Waiter, but he has a thing called Clones, where he puts
where split
a,
half the screen.
He splits the screen in like five different parts, and then he has another version of him pop up.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying.
So they could have just done that, have the bike drive through the actual open door, but they cut it right down the middle where the door was.
They splice footage of the closed door over it.
It's a real. Oh, so you're basically saying it's like a really, really elaborate composite shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, I can believe that. YouTubers can do it now, they could have done it then.
I could see them doing that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's in fucking the, it's in the Mac, it's a default thing in Mac editing.
But, here's the thing about the film, the mentality of the film industry, what's easier? What's easier, just going the full shot and then just editing him going through it at the very end with CGI and just doing the long shot all the way to the hilt, or doing a whole bunch of composite shots?
I don't know.
We can't comment on
that. No, we can't
comment
on that. I'm just saying, whatever is the easiest thing to do technically is the
explanation.
It's
only two shots, technically.
Is the explanation.
It's one shot of the bike going straight through the door,
anyways,
and another shot of the door closed.
We're spending too much time on this one
shot. So, okay. So, he goes into the mirror world and fights Incisor again.
Well, before all that, we actually get Incisor's backstory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God. So, this fucking backstory. Me and Chris were like all over this fucking backstory. It was like,
yeah,
okay, so he joins up.
So we get the backstory of Incisor, and he's this rich kid whose name is not even significant enough to remember.
Yeah.
So
I think it's probably Richie. Just
I don't give a fuck.
I think it's Richie.
Richie Rich.
Of course his name is Richie.
Yeah. So he and his buddies drive up to his big fancy mansion, and there's someone blocking the door. A man who claims to be his father's lawyer, saying he's tired of his son being a worthless, lazy piece of shit. So,
yeah, the car doesn't belong to you anymore.
You no longer own this car. You don't live here anymore. You've been kicked out. Go get a real job.
Now, here's my thing about that. Okay. What? No confirmation. No
papers. He doesn't question it. He doesn't call his father. He doesn't ask about him or try and contact him in any way.
You know what? I'm going to ask another expert
Not even proof that he's an actual lawyer.
Wait, everyone, quiet for a second. If your father hired a lawyer to say that you're no longer allowed to come over to our house, not allowed anything at all, would you at least question it? Would you question that the fact that this random person came up to you and said that your father doesn't want you anymore? Mm-hmm. You would ask questions!
Okay, the way you describe this, because, okay, just so everyone knows, I've only watched, like, the first two episodes of Dragonite, but this was, like, a year ago, because I worked all day, so I didn't have time to watch it, but
yeah.
This sounds like the fucking Emperor's story from Ryuki, because remember when he became, like, the fucking president of his father's company and shit, and he had everything he wanted, and then just crashed down on him?
Maybe that's where they drew the inspiration for that story from.
God, that was a sad story.
But
because Emperor is someone else in Dragon Knight.
Only because it's done by Americans.
What's up?
It's simpler and stupid.
Yeah.
You said something?
I was going to say, I think the reason that he didn't question it is because I think it might have been something that happened before, but they didn't establish it. Like, oh, he's a rich kid that his dad keeps...
Still, though, this is a person now being faced with homelessness.
Yeah, like,
I
no questions.
I wouldn't put it... I wouldn't think that's more the... That's the reason. I would think the reason he didn't question it was more out of the shock.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like,
it's like, what? I can't believe this is happening.
But even
you're my only hope to get out of the situation. I immediately believe everything you say to me.
Even with all of that, like, a normal, educated person. I know this guy's.
You're assuming he's educated.
He's rich. He probably goes to a private school. So
again, we don't know this.
No. Education. Education and intelligence don't go hand in
hand. No, okay.
Wealth and intelligence definitely don't go hand in hand.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he is at least fucking fifth grade education.
All we know for sure, we only know two things for sure that this guy knows. A, how to drive, because he comes in driving, and B, that he knows martial arts, because he gets hired to do so.
Yeah,
and he only knows enough to impress the ladies.
Okay. Exactly.
And but any one person that I could think of, I could ask anyone. I asked Lane, and Lane is like the one of the people who would be like, what? Really?
No.
Oh.
What, like, can they do to fix this?
Lane is that person. Lane is that type of person. But, like, even he would ask his father why. No person on this planet would fucking go, yeah, I believe you, this random stranger who was standing in front of my house.
Yeah.
He didn't even give him any fucking papers. I just really hurt my hand there.
You know what the thing is? I think if we were forced to come up with a reason, outside of just bad writing, which I'm sure is the cause, it's because this is the villain here, and he's probably using some sort of evil subliminal mind trick.
No, we all know from the later episodes that he doesn't have subliminal powers. He's manipulative.
Guys, it's plot progression.
Yeah.
They didn't think too hard.
We don't have time for this validification bullcrap.
They didn't have time. They didn't concern.
We have two episode characters to move forward, people.
They're too busy worrying about what sort of shitty, bland cinematography they're going to put for their fight sequences, which is the main grab of the show.
And they go and they fight, and they show off their moves, they show off...
So we have to explain the rest of the backstory.
Oh, yeah.
So as the lawyer, who's... I think he said a name, but it's not important.
Lawyer McDouchebag.
The lawyer is driving Richie to his new job, which is a fast food mascot. Not even an actual...
This mascot belongs in an 80s slasher film.
Pighead. Watching this makes me go insane because he goes, okay, I will give you $1 million to defeat Dragon Knight and Wing Knight.
No, the contract was $1 million for each rider you kill.
Yeah, each rider you kill, that's it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, and this is another thing that's really, really stupid... I'm pretty sure I'd question the agent of the law basically giving me money to carry out a hit.
And now, here's the thing.
With superpowers.
He gives him the deck, and the deck starts glowing, and he's like, what the fuck is this? Like, at that point, I'd be like, okay, no,
neat trick, bruh.
You're a wizard. You're a wizard. No, stop what you're doing. No, go away.
I'm keeping this.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
I'm going to use this to rob a bank.
I know.
I have a quick question. So, when you see the lawyer's reflection, it's his monster form, right?
Which kind of not, and kind of is, because they do change it later on.
So here's the thing. Does he just not have a reflection when the other guy sees it?
No, he sees normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't gained the sensitivity to see mirror monsters yet.
Yeah, he has to do his first henshin to do that.
Okay, I was just wondering because, like, we're obviously seeing... And it's for the benefit of the audience, sure.
Yeah.
It's basically like,
it's so we see that
he's a bad guy! But I kind of feel like... If he has potential to use the decks... Couldn't he have maybe have seen that a little bit? Like, maybe you could.
Well, the reason why he's able to use the deck in the first place is because he killed the other rider from the mirror world.
Who was his
duplicate.
Yeah.
So he's looking... The whole point of this whole show is that he is looking for the duplicates of the riders in the real world. In our world.
He's already defeated the riders from Ventara, so
yeah.
He looks for their...
Remember how I said that everyone is
Earth
exactly the same in the other world here? That is what is happening in this show, is that the whole show is based on that guy's bad, the bad guy from Ventara died, the good guy from Ventara died. I have his deck. I need to find the guy here and manipulate him to work for me to kill the other guys.
Or just kill him. I was going to say, worst case scenario, if the guy I hire loses, one less rider.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd just kill him.
But he's...
No, because he wants him to work for them.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to do it himself.
On the off chance that he's successful.
He has an army.
He's worried about Link Fent.
He's got an army of monsters, and the only thing that can stop him are people with these decks that turn into magical armor that can stop him. Okay, so why don't you... If he knows exactly who's compatible with the decks, if he knows them by face because he's fucking watched them die in another world... Why doesn't he just fucking shoot them in the head? Don't even give them a chance to betray him or find out that he's evil, or anything that could possibly go wrong with this plan, go up to them, shoot them in the head, and keep the Dex of Ultimate Power for yourself.
Here's the problem with that, though. He needs the people on the other side to work for him because he doesn't want because he's trying to take everyone from Earth to rebuild his empire.
Okay.
Yeah. But so what he's doing is he's trying to get rid of the other Kamen Riders.
Why does he? You're saying he's
creating the good Kamen Riders.
He's creating Kamen Riders.
Bad Kamen Riders, which they are all bad.
Sure, but they all have, but a lot of them have redeeming qualities.
All the ones that he manipulated have all been bad.
So here's
except
the,
for one, he turned
well,
around.
Well, no, are you talking about the chameleon?
No, I'm talking about Sting, the guy.
Sting was the fucking one that killed half the dudes.
That was Strike. Sting was the
Sting is Ryan.
At any rate,
never mind. You're right.
At any rate, you're basically just telling me that this guy is lazy and he doesn't want to do it himself. All right, don't use the fucking only thing that can stop you and hand it to people with free will.
No, it's more like I think the decks are like DNA locked to this.
That's
DNA
the thing. Is
they are
DNA locked to them.
Even worse, that does not help your case whatsoever. There's only one person who can use
case, that doesn't explain the whole case giving Maya the Siren deck, does it?
Because the Iron Chef guy, he comes back.
The Advent Master.
Yeah, Advent Master comes back and unlocks the Advent deck.
Right. It doesn't fucking matter. There's only one person who can use these decks each.
Yes.
You don't go to that specific person and say, here's the deck.
Most of them are being manipulated with, I have your family. You will fight for me or your family will die.
It doesn't matter. They could still betray him. They could still find a way around
it. I know. But most of the time they don't do that.
I think he was hoping to turn them into his personal army.
And Rhino was another one that kind
of
wasn't.
He has a personal army of monsters.
Of unintelligent, non-necessarily controlled monsters.
The best kind.
No, but the point is he wanted a task force.
Easily eatable.
He wanted a task force that he could manipulate.
Easily beatable by riders that he's making anyway.
Yes.
Easily beatable against humans? Those monsters are just fine.
He just wants to vent the other guys.
Think about it this way. Why would Lord Zedd or Rita have any of their generals or any of their monsters of the week when they can just send hundreds of thousands of putties?
That's a problem with that writing, too. But it's because it's a superhero show. But in this case, it doesn't make sense because the freaking villain's logic doesn't pan out. There's only one thing that can stop my evil plan. I'm going to give that one thing to the only people who can use it and just hope that my manipulation and or lies hold up.
And that's the character's flaw. He's overconfident.
There's a difference between overconfident and stupid. That's just stupid, and I can't take him seriously.
I agree. No, I agree with you completely.
No one
ever
accused him of being a good, well-written villain.
No one ever accuses anything in this show to be well-written.
This is the dumbest plot ever, but it's the plot. And you have to agree with it in the sense of the show. It works. If you watch the whole show, it completely pays off in the end.
But the first three episodes don't make me want to watch the whole
show. That's fine. That's your prerogative.
So it fails.
But it fails on the stature that you don't want to watch the rest.
Sure, but it,
exactly.
In its job of enticing me with its first three episodes, which by a rule a show should do, if it doesn't entice you after three episodes, then it's not for you, and it's not for me.
Exactly. Like, I would watch it because it'd be like, hey, I wonder how this compares to Ryuki! I'm going to keep watching because I want to see how it compares to the original source material.
I finished watching it because Chris said it was Ryuki done right. So that's
why
I was like, I don't need to watch Ryuki now.
Which then Japan dubbed it and they actually got some of the original actors from Ryuki to voice
said
characters.
It was so much better than Ryuki that it got dubbed back to Japanese.
I watched it in the dub because I have the MKVs and my... the dub is actually really good. It's really shitty in some parts because, you know, Japanese words are longer than English words.
Yeah.
So the scene would change and they're still talking. So that's it. But okay, the show in a whole is okay. In the first three episodes, I have said this many times, to anyone who wants to watch Kamen Rider Ragnarok, I said it to Tom. I said it to Wayne. I said it to fucking to
other
to
people. Our listeners don't know.
You know Victoria, they know about. They know about Tom.
Savage Caster.
Yeah, Savage Caster's been on.
And, and Wayne is our other. He's been in videos, but he hasn't been.
If anyone from the GTA area knows the cosplay medic.
Yeah, and so like, there's that. But then you have. I've told it to those people, and I said, don't put it on the merit of the first three episodes or the first like five episodes because after when the gun, I keep forgetting his name, the gun
Torque.
Guy, Torque shows up.
Yeah.
Everything, the plot gets better, the acting gets better, everything gets better because Torque is such a fucking piece of shit, and I love him.
I know, right?
Oh
yeah, that's I completely
Zelda
agree.
Zelda is what made Ryuki slightly more watchable because he was a badass fucking lawyer, and then Oja came in and we were like serial killer Ryder, fuck
yeah. That's the thing, Oja and Zelda, Torque and Strike. Are the two elements that make the entire show worth watching for the most part.
Yeah. And Strike is in it to the end.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have a good conclusion, which makes me mad. Spoiler. Whatever.
Well, it's
fuck
because
you.
In the movie, Ryuga fucking kills him, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It just so. It just feels like everybody's got an undergripe about everything in this show. Like, oh, this part's great, but I've got an undergripe about this. Oh, but this is great. There seems to be, like.
There are flaws.
The show has its failings, no doubt.
It seems to me like this show is more just a series of failings made that are being acquiesced for by the various moments of badassery.
I agree with you completely.
No, it's just a long series of, why are you making this like this? Oh, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
The thing is, as high praises we sing for Dragon Knight, it's not a great show. It's the best thing you can say about it. It's better than Ryuki, and we've repeated that 100 times, and we'll say it 100 more times.
Sure.
Right. So how about
Dragon Knight is pretty much why did it have to have three fucking clip shows?
I know, right?
Yeah, I forgot about that. It's three
last
fillers.
Fucking episode is a fucking clip show.
It's three fillers. I forgot about that.
It's been so long.
That's my one
everybody's
pretty
just
much.
Making such tremendous cases.
No, it's it that now that I remember that I'm like this show sucks.
It does.
So are we gonna finish episode 3 here? Or...
That is the end of episode 3.
The episode ends with them with Dragon Knight and Wing Knight teaming up against Incisor
and
Incisor
goes, "Oh no, it's not fair." Right.
With this icing on the cake, this guy like his means of going away. Oh, now you guys are turning this into a 2-1. That's not fair.
That's
and he
cheating.
Walks off.
But like,
walks off!
He did a 2-1 earlier!
Just walks off!
Sure, 2-1 is fair when you and your monster teaming up on Ryuki.
There's your conclusion to the episode 3. That's your conclusion
but,
to
the
fight
the
of
thing
episode
is,
3.
The funny thing is, that does fit within his character because he's a rich, spoiled asshole.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He should have been dealt with much more quickly then. He shouldn't be a carry-on.
He should have final
villain.
Vented at least
let's,
once.
Let's put it this way.
He did, and then he died.
Scissors was a 2-episode character. Incisor is a 2-episode character.
No, 3. Because he was in 2, 3, and 4.
If they were going to just make him this irredeemable little bitch, his last words should have been, no, this isn't fair, you can't go 2-1.
I don't know what his words were when he was vented.
He says, what, this isn't fair. That is.
Yeah,
fair.
I was like, I think he does say that.
Yeah.
Does he die in this episode?
No, in the next one.
Okay, well, it's an episode that I didn't see.
Yeah,
we only watched episodes 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone went to 5.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
Yeah.
I told everyone to do 1 through 5, and then Lane had to go to work, and I was like, how much time do you have left? And he's like, 30 minutes.
Oh.
Shit!
Yeah, we're just covering episodes 1 through
we
3.
We usually do episodes 1 to 3 of shows we watch anyway, so...
Yeah, but since Dino Charge usually is like a 35-minute part...
Yeah...
Look how long we've gone on.
Yeah, I know.
We should move on to the topic.
Okay, so
we should move on to
Dragon Knight. If you hate Ryuki, watch it. If you like Ryuki, watch it.
If you
prefer to stay out of the Ryuki mythology, Dragon Knight is not gonna fix that either.
If you like halfway decent writing and good cinematography, don't watch it.
And don't watch it like fucking Savage Caster did, where he watched episode 1 of Dragon Knight. And then episode 1 of Ryuki, and then episode 2 of Dragon Knight, and episode 2 of Ryuki.
Series side by side.
Yeah.
That sounds like the worst
idea. That's terrible!
That's how fucking And I was like, you fucking dumbass!
That wow. sounds almost as bad as being
forced
to watch
And then he got halfway
through
the series and went, this show sucks. Oh. No reason, no, really? The show sucks because you're watching it fucking side by side.
Special topic.
Oh. Moving on to special topic.
Featured topic.
Okay. So today's special topic is favorite and least favorite Power Ranger team-ups. Meaning that a team-up like Mighty Morphin
crossover episodes.
Like Mighty Morphin is with Zeo, which would never happen because it was crossed.
They were the same Rangers.
Yeah, but what I mean is that type of thing.
It's pretty obvious what a team-up episode is talking about.
But I'm going to go first, and I have three honorable mentions before I do this.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Oh,
wow. There's not that many, dude.
No. Okay.
Okay, how about this? Save your honorable mentions. If none, if they don't get mentioned, you can say them.
Okay, fine. Okay, no honorable mentions until then.
Best and worst.
Best is the In Space and Lost Galaxy crossover.
Yeah, I think it's called The Power of Ten.
Yeah, so
the power
of Ten,
yeah. And there's also The
that,
Power of Pink.
I watched the whole thing this like before starting this, and I went, holy fuck, this was so well shot, this was so well written, so well acted, why are you not, like, a better actor? And I was pointing at the Red Ranger. Because that Red
Which
Ranger
Red
did,
Ranger?
The Red Ranger that went from...
Andros or Leo?
Leo.
Oh, yeah, he's
He did not do anything after this!
His actor was terrible.
But I loved him in this! He did everything right! He spoke with emotion, he did everything, he emoted, he did everything possible to make that character in that special perfect. And I went, do that, but better! And you can be on, like, TV, like, other than kids' shows!
And maybe next time they film Forever Red, you'll actually be there.
Yeah.
He was there.
He was there for most of it.
I read they shopped him in.
Which adventure are we talking
no,
about?
No, they shopped him in.
Lost Galaxy.
No, they shopped him in when, like, they were actually lined up, but he was in most
of
it.
Yeah, he did show for a few minutes.
Anyway.
Anyway, so we got that, and then, like, the whole fight, I forgot who they... Oh, I just watched it, too, and I already forgot who
Psycho
they lost.
Psycho Rangers.
Yeah, it was the Psycho Rangers.
Yeah, I thought that was great, bringing them back.
Yeah, and if that was just, like... amazing, and it was just like at the time it goes okay, there's only seven of us, let's do this, and then the other four show up and go, you mean 11, right? And then it's just like it pans over and I can't see them at all because they're on this like platform in between this thing, and it zooms in on like, fuck yeah, let's do this, and they jump off and they fucking
I remember that exact
that,
shot
that moment though where you see like they do the transformation but like before you see them Carlos cut his hair.
Yeah.
When he transforms, he has his longer hair.
Stock footage. What are you going to do?
It's stock footage. But it was so well done, and the whole fight was really good.
Lots of team-up episodes.
I will not spoil the end of the fight, because it was so good, you have to watch it. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere.
It's on Netflix.
It's on everywhere, okay?
It's kind of a shame that
I bet if you looked up at the sky...
Sorry, hold on. Say again?
I said it's kind of a shame that Zane wasn't there, but oh well.
Yeah!
All right. You could probably look up at the clouds and probably see it somewhere up there. It is everywhere. It's so good. And moving on to my least favorite is the In Space and the fucking Ninja Turtles.
Fuck you.
Okay? That was fucking horrible. Get out. Go. Bye. See ya.
Well,
get out of my show.
I just lost my favorite team up.
Good.
That was mine too.
That is the worst!
No, tell him while he's wrong. Why he's wrong.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me why I'm wrong.
In fact, you know what? Both of you take your turns right now and gang up on him.
Turtle titties, okay? Turtle titties!
No. You're okay. If your problem is with Venus de Milo, that has nothing to do with the crossover.
Yeah, but that's not even it.
Next Mutation was a great series. I'm going to tangent on this for a minute.
Wait, no, fuck
no,
you.
No, shut up.
It's my fucking segment. Oh, no. You can do this at your own time.
Venus de Milo was an amazing character because in episode two... of being in the show, she mind-fucked Shredder and straight-up killed him, and he was gone the rest of the show.
I don't care
she
a
did
shit
something
about
that. The Ninja Turtles
that
could never
the
do!
Crossover.
And then retcon!
That wasn't even part of the crossover!
That's just because the creators
didn't
like her.
So that doesn't even fucking matter!
I like tomatoes.
And this, they get fucking goddamn fucking...
Actually, no, not really.
They get hypnotized by Astronema!
And they go and fight, and he's like... And then it was like, shit, I'm not hypnotized anymore. Okay, let's fight. And they go and they fight, and... fucking Ninja Turtles do nothing in the fight other than one thing they do. He jumps up, the Yellow Ranger is stuck, like between two of them and the red one,
Raphael
jumps over and lands on him on his shell.
I don't even give a crap about any of the fighting. This was not about fighting. In a series about fighting, that's really hard to say. But this show was about taking two shows that none of us in that day and age, in our wildest imagination, we thought ever would cross paths. This is the sewers and outer space crossing over. It was a monumental occasion when I was a child.
I don't care. I wasn't a child then.
And well, because that's not his problem.
And because
that's
of this,
why I think it's shit.
And because of this episode, we were certified terrified.
Help! I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
Oh, the show was garbage. Period. That whole episode was a wash, and I'm glad it was. It's now known as non-canon.
Okay. Well,
I don't care.
Well, as a kid, I enjoyed it, but I did watch it a couple years ago, and I was like, "This is kind of really silly," but I thought it was cool that the Power Rangers and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
teamed up. No, that's cool, okay? Fine. They didn't need to have to fight each other. And they didn't need to have to fight, period. It could have just been like, it could literally could have been like the, like, in Kamen Rider, it could have been this, like, Kamen Rider Sango comes in, sup, bye. It could have been something like that.
Anything. Either of you find gents like to weigh in on this subject, because this is now apparently the subject. you guys both had opinions on the Turtles crossover.
I've said most of my bit on it. You had anything to add?
I changed my mind. I
have no How could you do this to me?
I'm sorry? I couldn't understand you over the...
I said I just liked it because there were turtles.
That's it. You only liked it because there were turtles.
I like turtles.
Okay, so we're moving on because my honorable mentions are coming up after this and it's going to be fucking great.
Since we just yelled at top volume what my favorite is... My least favorite is going to be the fucking Mighty Morphin Kamen Rider crossover.
Oh, there goes mine.
What? It
was nothing but an excuse to fucking shoehorn the pilot of Masked Rider into an already popular show.
Bullshit. They just wind up fucking god whatever the fuck his planet was called.
Wow, Edenoi. Hey. I remember it. Hey. Dex of Edenoi.
We had Tommy fighting Masked Rider. That was fucking cool.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just an excuse
for
him.
Because it's Black RX. Who the fuck cares?
I don't even care about Black RX or any of that. It was a poor excuse. Okay, when it happened, it was cool because it was a crossover of something we hadn't seen before. Like the Ninja Turtles one. Those are interesting to me. But when you think about where that came from, the fact that they used an already established popular show like Mighty Morphin to try and launch the career of another show, which crashed and burned horribly.
It is literally the essence of everything wrong about advertising within continuity of shows.
Yeah,
it's the worst of commercialism. It's the
and
worst
the best part
this.
Was Alpha apparently was friends with them. And it's like, you're my enemy! Wait, we know I'm friends with Alpha! You're friends with Alpha? Well, I'm your friend now! Let's work together! Whoa!
Bullshit.
And that's not even saying anything about how bad Masked Rider itself was. Worse, they had fucking crystals on their foreheads that were holographic projectors!
Yeah. And since you decided to go with my least favorite one for all of the reasons that I would go with...
Okay.
Because it was full of
shit. What's your favorite one?
The finale of Power Rangers in Space.
Yay!
Oh, that was actually not bad. Yeah.
It's not a traditional crossover, I'll admit, but it crossed all of the stories of the previous Power Rangers shows.
Absolutely.
It provided conclusions to all of the previous continuities.
Like Bulk and Skull's conclusion.
Yes. The fall of every single pre-space villain.
Rita and Zed becoming human.
Yes,
yeah.
Rita and Zed becoming human. Zordon dying.
Yep.
And it's basically the conclusion of Power Rangers as we knew it as kids, because beyond space, it became something different. It became, yes, they all
became
were,
serialized.
Yes, it became serialized, and in the case of Power Rangers, you felt like every show was subsequent to the one before it, whereas once space rolled around, it just became genre pieces. It just became shows with themes.
I am so amazed you did not go with Forever Red.
Forever Red was alright.
It was good. It was the biggest, most grand scope of the. It was the.
Let's not talk about Forever Red because someone might actually have it. So let's.
No, I know that, but I'm simply going to state that Forever Red, for what Power Rangers became, had the grandest scope of what a crossover could be at that point.
Yeah.
But I simply prefer the less serialized notion of Power Rangers from before.
The Zordon era.
Yes.
Is someone sucking dick on the other mic?
And for someone's too ashamed to admit it. We caught you.
I hear some Jimmy's wrestling.
But yeah, for how Power Rangers was to end in the format that I enjoyed most, it was the most satisfying ending. And to me, it will always be a crossover, and it's the best one to me. So that's for my least favorite. Yeah, it's gonna be the Masked Rider Power Rangers crossover.
Yeah.
It was generic, it was nothing but commercialism, and it led into a bullshit show that went nowhere, so, whatever.
And now it's time for Lane to say more in 1 minute than he said all show.
Hi. Okay, my favorite...
Lane's just scared shitless after all the arguing.
No, I'm just listening because I don't want, interrupting people.
You can just go, you just raise your hand or something, anyways, and I'd be like, okay.
My favorite cross team-up was the Dino Charge Ninja Storm team-up, because... It was cool.
Did you say Dino Charge Ninja Storm?
I caught that too.
You said Dino Charge
Thunder.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm tired.
That's a good
it's
one,
okay.
Though.
It's tired. Backwards for because it's they backwards for him. Because I say Dino Thunder for Dino Charge.
I liked it because it was because the Ninja Storm villain came back and he was able to hypnotize the Ninja Storm Rangers into becoming evil, and they fought the Dino Thunder Rangers, and it was really cool. And then they had their transformation sequence was fucking badass. They all fucking did it, and then they just jumped down all together and then reached out their arms and were like, Ranger power! And then explosion behind them. It was fucking awesome. It's one of my favorite team-up roll calls ever.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And the fight sequences were fucking awesome, and it was a thing we'd never seen before. Probably seen dinosaurs, the MMPR and Alien Rangers team up, so dinosaurs and ninjas probably did team
but we've never seen two Ranger squads fight.
Yeah. And Tommy was able to be in it, and it was really cool. As for least favorite, I can't think of one. Mostly all the team-ups were really fucking cool, I thought.
I could think of one really bad one.
Oh, you know what? I got one. The Super Mega Force finale.
I was almost going to choose that one.
That one just... Super Mega Force was terrible.
That's what I meant by unanimous.
The cameos were cool, though. I got Carter and Dana to come back, which was fucking awesome. And we had a cool scene where we saw Kuro, and she's like, I love being a Power Ranger, and then showed her as the astronomer for a second.
Yeah,
and I'm
astronomer. And then it says... I don't want to be a ranger anyway.
Yeah, immediate cut to those clips I found from both In Space and Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, because the extended cut did that.
So yeah, the Super Mega Force finale was my worst one because who gives a shit about Super Mega Force?
Okay, and you guys, have you guys anything to add in terms of best worst?
Crunchman, I'll let you go first.
Okay, my best, I went with the other two from In Space, which was Back in Black and Blue to the Rescue, the ones where Justin and Adam came back.
Oh, there goes my honorable mention!
Yeah, I went with those mainly because I remember watching those as a kid and thinking those were really awesome, and they're just nice bursts of nostalgia.
Yeah, I just remember the first episode of In Space where, it was the final episode of Turbo, and they, go into the shuttle, and you just see Justin watching, and I'm just like... Poor guy, being left behind, that sucks.
Yeah. He chose to stay behind.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's true. But
you know what? No, I'm more sad that Skull got left behind because he slept in.
No, that was in Lost Galaxy.
Lost Galaxy.
In Space.
Skull!
In Space, I find, was the best at taking the entirety of Power Rangers lore and turning it into a single cohesive story with a drawing conclusion.
Oh, no,
for sure.
That's why Space was so full of great moments.
Absolutely.
And
it maintains my favorite season.
Yes.
For my worst, I'm going with Clash of the Red Rangers from Power Rangers Samurai.
Oh my god.
Oh,
you mean the one that also borrowed footage from the Shinkendra movie for some reason?
And it shouldn't make sense because, RPM's in a different universe from every other one, as we think.
The funny thing is, they never got, his actor is never on screen because he's worried about breathing normal human air.
Yeah, and
it's also because we'd never see, what was the Red Ranger, Scott? Yeah, so we would never see Scott act like that, because he wasn't all like, I'm better than you!
He would never act like Sosuke.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was just really stupid, and then the way they spliced the two movies into each other, it was really dumb, and just, ugh. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hated that crossover.
Yeah. That actually was my honorable mention for worst was RPM.
But then that's the most of the fault for that being terrible lies in the fact that this was crossing over one of the silliest Sentai with one of the more serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like as the guy said, as Linkara said in his review, what the fuck? They want me to make this for adults? How the fuck am I gonna do that? Do the Zords have eyes?
Shitty little anime talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just blame Joff and Zacker.
Orange caster.
Okay, Noble.
Noble!
So first I'm gonna drop me a coin in the Sentai jar real fast. And going back to Dragon Knight and Ryuki and all that jazz. In America, we called Dragon Knight Kamen Rider. Yeah. The SH figure arts and everything for the Ryuki Riders say Masked Rider, not Kamen Rider.
Well, the thing is, the franchise never really started using the term Kamen Rider until Double started.
Yeah.
If you look at the logos for the series, after at Double and forward, the little text actually says Kamen Rider, whereas all the series prior said Masked Rider.
Yeah.
Kamen Rider thing started with
Double. And even all the SH figure arts, even after Double, still said Masked Rider Double. Well, yeah, Masked Rider this, well, Masked Rider that. Yeah.
Just their respective riders.
Yeah.
Because Kamen Rider wasn't technically the title as it stands. It's just Kamen is the Japanese for masked. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, even on like the Gaim Loxies with the Rider Locks, some of them say masked, some of them say Kamen.
Maybe Toei just realizes that when Double Star, they're just like, Kamen Rider sounds cooler.
Yeah.
Let's just call it that!
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. But yeah, no, I understand completely where you're coming at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, for my favorite team-up, I'm gonna pick one from one of the worst series we've ever had in America, and the Once a Ranger from Operation Overdrive.
Oh, no, that was fucking great!
I know, the series was horrible, but the team-up was awesome.
Bridge. No, that episode was absolute garbage, but the team-up was good.
Bridge was the red SPD Ranger. That was so cool.
Bridge alone made that a good episode.
Is it buttery?
So, Noble, that's your favorite? Once a Ranger?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's not bad.
Besides the turtle.
I said one episode, you fucker! That's a two-parter!
Shut up!
Well, my other one was gonna be the Wild Force and Time Force team.
Oh, yeah.
Also several episodes.
And Jen came back, and I was just like, oh.
Jen came back as Tomb Raider.
She looked badass.
Alex is still dead.
She was always a fucking Amazon.
She was the true leader of Time Force.
She was.
I think
Alex,
he would
Alex
eat her.
Alex was a dick.
No?
Sorry?
No. You said she's a fucking Amazon. I was like, no, I think he would eat her.
Oh my god.
You people need Super church. Mega Force. The worst one is just Super Mega Force in general. That was just atrocious.
Yeah.
The worst crossover is the entirety of Super Mega Force.
Because
I did like the episode though where Casey from Jungle Fury came.
I actually did watch that one. That was actually a pretty good episode because it focused
on. I have not
on,
watched Super Mega Force.
Jake and
did
Emma.
They get permission to use their Zords like they did in Gokaiger?
They thought Casey was working in the zoo, and it's like, hey, is that guy working in the zoo? What guy works in the tiger cage? And it's like, he was just sneaking into the fucking tiger cage? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
But no, I actually legitimately want to know, did they go and get permission to use their Zords in Super Mega Force?
No. Only Jaden from Samurai and Casey from Jungle Fury showed up.
That's it? Oh, okay, never mind. Whatever.
And then the cameos in the last episode. That was
it. Yeah. All right, whatever. Don't care.
Hey,
you guys.
Loreno, almost 2 hours.
Don't forget, like, my friends think they're funny. It's like fucking, like, forever.
20 minutes at least.
Yeah, this is a low one file. Yeah.
Anyway, short podcast, huh, David?
Are we made up for it?
We're done.
Everybody,
yay! Everyone in the comments, tell us what your favorite anime is.
And don't forget
favorites.
To feed Lane, because Lane needs food.
Yeah, give me comments.
Feed
please.
Your.
Already sold his, like, half his body to science.
No, he sold all his figure arts, man!
Yeah!
He sold his body to science? Does that mean we're gonna modify him into a shocker monster?
No, it means that I'm making a lot of money off pharmaceutical companies that you're not
no,
seeing.
No, if anything, I'm just Baxter Stockmaning that shit from TMNT, because every season I'd come back and just a piece of me, more or less, I'm just...
So wait, what he actually is, yep. He's from Dino Thunder, and he's the dad who turns into... the guy says
Mezogog,
and then he splits off.
He's Anton Mercer,
and then he turns. They split him in half to have Lane, and then this like this mutant version of Lane.
Half Lane, half Kilogon.
Yeah.
Can I say something about Dino Thunder real quick?
Yeah.
So you know how in Dino Charge, Sledge was hauling asteroids, and the Dino Gems and Dino Thunder came from an asteroid.
Yeah.
Like how you guys know.
Dino Charge is a prequel to Dino Thunder.
Well, just that prologue.
Yeah.
So basically, Sledge had the asteroid with the Dino Gems in his collection somewhere.
Hey, I'd buy it.
You know what? You know what's really stupid? Because they've already semi-confirmed it. Dino, the three main characters from Dino Thunder are gonna come back in a Dino Charge. For something.
They're probably gonna use the footage from
the GoBusters Charger movie.
Since the GoBusters weren't in that team-up fight at all.
That's possible.
The thing is that they kind of semi-confirmed that because they said that the guys who do the show for Dino Thunder, on their Twitters, they said that we got a callback from Saban.
Cool.
And that was it. But here's the thing. Dino Thunder was Disney.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, RPM and Samurai crossed over, and RPM was Disney.
Yeah, but RPM, they didn't bring the actor back, and they only used the suit, and the guy wasn't the same.
No, but the point is, it can happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, let's end the episode here.
So, like we were saying, feed Lane with your comments about your favorite and least favorite Power Ranger team-ups, or any team-ups from any Tokusatsu show.
Yeah, and don't forget to go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and follow each of our personal Twitters after that as well.
Fuck yeah.
And subscribe to us at castranger.podbean.com and find us on iTunes.
And don't forget to go to ixystudios.ca.
Yay.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.